Welcome to Car Wash, the podcast, your source for real stories and real business insights from the experts, both in and out of the car wash industry. So put it in neutral, feet off the brakes, and take your hands off the steering wheel. Here is your guide on this journey, Car Wash Magazine Editor-in-Chief, Matt DeWolf.
Hey everybody, welcome to this episode of Car Wash the Podcast. This is the podcast that makes you a better car washer and a slightly better human being. This week's episode is all about our monthly live panels. What does that mean? Every month we get the opportunity to spend some time talking with experts in the industry about various topics, and then we take that information and share it with you. Our most recent conversation was about retention, and it was excellent. What kind of retention, you might ask? Well, we're talking in this episode all about how to make sure that you focus some of your marketing spend and your marketing energy on retaining customers, right? So what's that look like? How do you do that? How do you make sure that you, at the end of the day, don't forget about retaining those customers while you're trying to acquire new ones? Yes, we need new customers, but it costs us so much more to recapture one of those lost customers than it does to keep those customers we have coming back to our wash. So without further ado, friends, here is that conversation. We've got a couple of special guests joining me today. We've got Casey Erdeli from Spark Car Wash and Nick Rodia from Sergeant Clean. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. Good to be here.
Some things just never stop. So Casey, you're new here to this endeavor. Every time I welcome folks to the show, I want hype energy. Like, this is fun, it's exciting. And every time what I get is, hi, I'm glad
hi.
To be here.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm really happy to be here.
Here we are. all right. So before we jump all the way into the deep end of the pool here, let's start with maybe a little bit of an introduction. Casey, could you just kind of share with everybody your background, where you came from?
Yeah, sure. My name's Casey. I'm very excited to be here. And I'm VP of marketing for Spark Car Wash. We are based in New Jersey. We have two locations open and 20 more in various stages of development. My background is in branding and marketing strategy. Large agencies, small agencies, consulting, and I own my own business for a little while, a retail business. So that's where I'm coming from.
Awesome. Awesome. I can't wait to hear what you have to say about all the things subscription-based. So Nick, will you do me a favor and reintroduce yourself to our friendly audience?
Yeah, I feel like I'm becoming a veteran on these panels. I've been here since the beginning, so hopefully I still have some value to bring to these discussions. But Nick Rodia, Director of Marketing at Sergeant Clean Car Wash. We're located in Northeast Ohio. We've actually evolved over my time on these panels, so we are now operating 11 locations with a handful more planned for 2023. So we've scaled up. So it's been interesting to see kind of that life cycle as we've grown the business.
Well, I'm going to say, Nick, that your growth is entirely because of your presence on these panels. That's the
I like that answer. Let's go with that, Matt.
Yeah. We got to take a little credit somewhere, you know? All right. Let's get into it a little bit. I want to focus our conversation really first. I want to start on kind of retention and cancellations. And really, we've had this cancellation conversation before, so I think we'll skew a little more toward retention and what that means and what are some things we can kind of look at doing there. Casey, I know you all don't have great numbers yet in terms of how retention is looking. Nick, what's it looking like for you all compared, this year, last year? Are you seeing any trends, anything changing?
Yeah, so for us in Northeast Ohio, four-season state operator, seasonality is in play. When we kind of have our small group of our panel, you ask that same question, and we have members of our group that are located in various parts of the country. So the answer may not be one size fits all. Now, for us, As we look at the retention data over the past 12 months, we're actually flat or we're ahead, which is, okay, you know, a significant win for us. As we look, we have locations that are in various stages of life cycle. We have new sites that are just coming online. We have older locations, some up to celebrating their 10-year anniversary this year. So we're kind of looking at those numbers a few different ways, because you could have a higher membership count, again, versus someone that is just coming online. And maybe there's only 1 to 2 to 3 months of recharges to really analyze that data. But when we're looking at the business as a whole, we're flat or a few less than percentage points up. So okay, that's a win for us so far.
Hey, count it in the column, right? That is, yes, a W. Casey, maybe not year over year data, but as you've kind of gotten into things, have you noticed any trends, or how frequently maybe are you tracking retention? Like, how much of a metric is that for you that you look at?
Yeah. Retention is a really important metric for us. You know, our sites are a little bit younger. One's just under 2 years and one opened last summer. And obviously a lot are coming on board this year and the year after. So, you know, I think what Nick was getting at, the earlier in the life cycle, the more acquisition is important, maybe retention is not quite as important. But for us, as we grow, you know, I believe there's a lot more that can be done with retention. And I think we need to expand the definition of retention to include not just members, but also retail customers. So it's a priority for us, and we are tracking it, although working on getting better data, because the data we have access to right now is a little hard to interpret sometimes.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So let's unpack that a little bit. I want to talk about what you just said about retail retention, right? So a lot of us think of retention in terms of like, how do we keep churn down in our monthlies? But talk to me about where you're going there with retail retention. What are you thinking there?
Yeah, I mean, look, if I'm Johnson & Johnson and I'm selling Band-Aids, retention means customers who have bought your product once before and you want them to buy it again or continue buying it. It doesn't mean memberships. And retention is not a concept exclusive to subscription businesses. Obviously, you care more about it when you're just getting a monthly return from somebody. And those people are the most important and the easiest to talk to because you have information about them. You can track their behavior and all of that. But I do think that there are a lot of retail customers in the car wash industry who behave relatively similarly to members. And so I think we have to think about retaining them and earning their loyalty in the same way.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because it is like, it's a little bit of a different model, but guess what? There's a ton of margin there, right? Like, that's a great revenue opportunity. We said for years in this industry, if you could get one customer to wash one more time and you take that over a bunch of customers, you're going to make a lot more money. So yeah, this is like building on that, right? I love that. Nick, what are you guys doing anything in that regard, or have you really shifted your efforts toward kind of the monthly subscribers when it comes to like retaining customers?
I'd say it's membership focused, but I think Casey is certainly on to something there. I mean, you know, when you ask, a lot of the time you're looking at your mix, you know, what's the mix of membership and non-membership in terms of visit frequency or revenue, or, you know, insert the KPI here. Mm-hmm. You know, really our job as marketers, and then, you know, a very close relationship with our folks in ops, is to ensure a consistent experience each and every time. And that for that person, whether they're a member or a non-member, when they think car washing, they're thinking of your brand. Mm-hmm. So that whether they're coming back because they already have a subscription and it's recharging on a monthly basis, or when they come outside one day and they say, oh, it's time for me to get a wash, as a non-member, you want them to immediately think of the brand. So while we're more in terms of retention membership focused, I think Casey's bringing up a unique thought and idea of thinking of the non-member retail customer as well.
Okay. So let's go to like, what are some easy wins for me, right, Casey? So if I'm thinking, man, I really do need to put a little energy and effort into trying to get my retail customers to come back more than one time in a given cycle. What are you thinking about doing, or what are you all maybe trying?
Yeah, so I think there's two answers to that. First of all, we're doing a version of loyalty cards, very old school, very hole punchy. You know, just the car shaped holes. But you know, we are trying to do it in a slightly more creative way, so it doesn't just feel like a standard loyalty card. But you know, I do think that short of a more dynamic software and technology solution that really understands how to track license plate recognition and identify retail cars, and you know, which is maybe near in the future, but not quite here yet. I think short of that, there are some very old school techniques that retail locations that don't have memberships have been practicing for, you know, probably hundreds of years, you know, that are worth giving a try.
Yeah. I kind of like I like hole punchy. I'm going to like, I don't know. I'm going to find ways to use that today that are totally unrelated. Yeah. Like, how are you feeling today? I'm a little hole punchy.
A little hole punchy.
Nick, I want to take a little bit of a turn here, because lots of conversation always about churn, right? I want to kind of get into when do you change your marketing mix or really your communication mix in this regard to go from I want to acquire new customers to I need to retain the customers I have? And how do you balance? Like, what's that mix look like?
It's such a relevant topic. It's something that we're really trying to wrap our arms around now. So the fact that we're having this conversation, I'm living it and breathing it right now. I think in terms of, you know, our data guy said something unique the other day where, you know, we're looking at retention and then churn. I mean, really, they're inverse of each other. Yeah. So in terms of churn, you kind of have, you know, the two buckets. You have your voluntary churn. Folks are just saying, sorry, I'm breaking up with you, relevant to Valentine's Day today. Or involuntary churn, which we don't really have a lot of control over. We're trying to kind of attack those in a few different ways, but I think your question was more specific about, well, how much energy and effort are you putting behind retention versus acquisition? And a lot of energy in the past has been solely focused on acquisition, and we kind of just let our consistency in terms of customer experience, customer service, quality kind of speak for our efforts for retention. But you said something unique a few minutes ago, Matt, where you said, you know, if we can get the non-member customer to come back one more time, if you look at the membership model and say, can we potentially keep someone that's going to drop one additional month, what impact that really has on the business? And as you can continue to scale and you can move your average lifespan, on average, let's say it's 12 months to 13 months, that's huge. So we're trying to, again, as someone operating with seasonality in play, and we see some defectors around the onset of the summer months, hey, I'm here to wash with you guys in the winter. I'll take care of it myself in my driveway. First, we want to control the controls and ensure that consistent customer experience. But I think now we're kind of looking for ways, can we gamify this a little bit to keep people on for a longer period of time? This is in its infancy, so I'm not ready to kind of speak to anything that has some data that's behind it yet. But I can say that it's something we're hyper-focused on right now and want to roll it out this year. So, yes.
I can't wait for the next panel when we get to talk about that.
Can I build on something he said there?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love that you said about the 12 months to 13 months, Nick, because the more I look at this data about churn and retention and the different ways to look at it, I find that to be the most useful for just that reason, which is to say, if I can say that my job was before on average, it was 10 months and now on average, it's 12 months. It's such a clear way for someone in a marketing role to say, you know, look what I did. I earned exactly this much, basically free revenue. And, you know, I don't know what you're doing. I'm excited to see, but I think you're on the right path, because my hypothesis is that people just get bored. I mean, there's some people who don't want it, or they're seasonal, or, you know, they just sign up for the promo and they cancel, or they don't have enough money, or they've moved. But I think for the most part, if you can think of other things you subscribe to, you just sort of, if after 6 months and 8 months, nothing has changed and it's kind of the same, it's even like taking vitamins or something. You just kind of, one day you look at the pack and you're like, I don't feel like taking these every day anymore. I'm going to take a break. And maybe they come back. But I think making a car wash membership feel more like something that's evolving and changing and yeah, has milestones you have to reach could help with some of that.
Well, Matt, even with, can I go on one more thing there? See, this is,
yeah,
this
I'm going to leave. You guys go ahead. I'm out of here.
I love being with like-minded folks because someone will say something and you can just go. And I think too, it's the power of also showing members or guests that you're reinvesting in the business, so that, you know, the perceived value is actually real value. That's something that we really pay attention to. Again, we have sites that were acquisition. We have sites that are new build. But we want to continue to reinvest in the business so we can show our members or our non-members that we're going to continue to do that. We're going to continue to be on the cusp. We want to be on the cutting edge of new technology in the space. Some of that is going to be tangible. Maybe it's a new piece of equipment in the tunnel. Some of it's going to be intangible. Maybe it's some sort of new perk or loyalty program that we're rolling out. But showing your members and non-members alike that you're going to continue to reinvest in the business provides you a unique opportunity to potentially stretch that out if someone's getting ready to drop.
Okay, I love that. So before we get too far, though, I want to turn this conversation a little bit. We're going to go into the next piece, but before we kind of cartwheel over that line, is there anything else we maybe need to be thinking about when it comes to retention or cancellations? Anything we're missing?
Yeah, I wanted to build on one more thing Nick had said about voluntary and involuntary churn, because he said, you know, involuntary churn is completely out of our hands. And I'm curious, this is actually a question back to Nick. You know, we haven't had too many years to watch the seasonality curves. We obviously have four seasons here too in New Jersey. But I noticed that when we do hit seasonality where churn increases, both involuntary and voluntary churn increase in those time periods, which leads me to believe that actually a good percentage of involuntary churn is semi-voluntary, or, you know, people just don't really care. Maybe they do it on purpose. They change their credit card or they cancel it, or maybe they just get the notice it's going to expire and they think, ah, I was going to cancel that anyway. But it does feel like it's maybe a little bit less binary than I had thought before I noticed that.
No, I think your thought pattern is spot on. I would say that involuntary churn is a bit more constant. You're not going to see the big ebbs and flows. It's going to stay pretty consistent. You know, you're going to have, you know, a small percentage of folks each month that are getting a new card, and it's not automatically updating depending on if you have services in the background that are running that. You will have, you know, the frustrating thing with involuntary churn is even if you put systems and processes in place, you know, some of it is still out of your control, that, you know, a banking institution or a card processing institution is going to have a say about that. I would say that the voluntary churn for operators like us, that there is seasonality in play, that's the one that you're going to see, you know, there's a little bit more ebb and flow there, whereas the involuntary is going to stay a little bit more constant.
Okay.
That's fascinating, because it's kind of like, at least you feel like the voluntary churn you can kind of do something about, like maybe you could win them back.
Right.
But it's actually harder, right? Like the involuntary stuff, it's like, okay, like that's probably a process that will fix it. But we're like, no, we're going to get them back. Like we want them to stay with us. No way can you go down the street. Just maybe a lesson. Maybe we should just like chill out a little bit, you know, we're marketers. Sometimes we're high strung. Yeah. Yeah. let's switch conversation a little bit. I want to talk about this, cause I think that this is one of those areas that, is going to sneak up on us if we're not careful. So, lots of conversation around mobile apps and, driving conversions to, unlimited memberships, not at the location. what are we missing? What are we seeing? What are we doing in this space? Like, Nick, and maybe we'll start with you. What have you all been doing over the years as you kind of look at this and watch this trend start to creep in? Is it a trend? Like, do we need to watch it? I don't know.
I don't know if it's a trend yet, but I think we should certainly be watching it. This is kind of like a pet project for me. I'm very interested to see if we can sell membership for a service offline.
Yeah.
Or I should say offsite online rather than onsite at the point of sale. Yeah. I don't know if it will ever replace, on-site conversion. I don't know if that will happen, but I'm going to try to my best to prove that out. I think it presents a real unique opportunity that's, you know, if you have a back-end e-commerce site that's functioning properly, that's easy for folks to use, you're not constrained by operating hours. You're not constrained by weather. You're not constrained by a lot of things. And for, you know, a marketer that is balancing both the digital space as well as traditional channels, you know, the digital space provides an opportunity to, you know, if you see an ad that piques your interest, there's no, oh, I got to get into the store. I got to remember that, get into the car and head to the site. It's instantaneous, which you can redirect to a landing page and have point of purchase. So it's something that I'm thinking about with each and every campaign that we're running to see if it makes sense to bolt on a join on-site or join online piece. But I'd be interested to hear what Casey has to say too.
Yeah, Casey, what are you watching in this space?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've just started in this business 1 year ago. So to me, it seemed from the start, of course, we should be selling online. You know, I'm sort of laughing because Nick said, if you have a back-end experience that's easy to use and simple. So right now for us, that's the biggest if, which is just that the current technology and software we have in place to sell online memberships is pretty not user-friendly. However, we are selling quite a bit, and I've seen enough case studies from other software companies in the space that suggest that we could be selling a lot more once we maybe have a more seamless experience. And I mean, two huge things Nick touched on. As a marketer, of course, it's lovely to be able to click through an ad all the way to conversion and a final sale, right? So that's great news for trackability and for the effectiveness of your advertising. But also just as an operator, I think the more sales we can, conversions we can shift off the actual site, the better the customer experience is and the better the relationship with you have with your customers. You're no longer trying to sell to them every time you interact with them, which I think a lot of people take as a negative experience. They have more control over, you know, when and how they convert. And also, I mean, you know, if you have sales associates stationed at your kiosks, you know, that's time and that's efficiency, you know, for how many cars you can get through the wash and for how long people are waiting in line. So I think it can only be good news if we can let people have more control over their process. And as data gets better and the software gets better, you make the best possible customer experience in person without worrying about selling, just the best possible, and then allow them to opt in. I think it could be really cool.
So this goes back to one of my favorite topics in the marketing world, which is customer journeys, right? And so I think that what I'm hoping that we can get here. I'm hoping that we can change behavior enough that we can get here, because I think that the control that we have over being able to tell our story online, right, in a landing page environment versus trying to train scripts and to do all that process on a physical location, I think as marketers, man, we can really shape that story and we can really keep it consistent. We can optimize it for the different behaviors for people that are coming to that page. There's just so much opportunity in that space, and I can't wait for us to get there. Now, the question really at the end of the day is, will customers ever be ready for that? Do we think as a customer that I can like get behind buying a membership to a car wash, not being at the car wash.
Yes.
I will tell you. I don't know. So
no, that's what the free trial is for. That's what the discount month. I mean, think about all the things you sign up for. You know, you mentioned Netflix, but you know, any kind of software platform, any kind of anything, subscription boxes, mm-hmm. you give the first month at a discount so people can try it and then they can cancel if they don't want to. Sure. Why not?
We got to get used to the long game though, right? I mean, that's a longer journey to conversion.
Maybe.
I think what's potentially aiding us is just the subscription-based world that we live in.
Yeah.
It is now the new normal, and it has been for many years. Now, for a industry that really sells a service, that's kind of a little bit unique. But I think that just the membership model in and of itself and being able to sign up, discontinue all digitally, all offsite, is starting to make those behaviors seem normal. And I think the connection now is, you know, really to Casey's point, we need to have backends that are user friendly, that are going to perform as they should each and every time, so that folks that want to go down that path, we're going to make it easy for them to do so. But I think, you know, we just need to continue to lean into, you know, the subscription-based world that we live in and make it applicable to our industry.
Yeah, and I think it's super important that we make sure we watch that stuff, right? Like, don't get so siloed in our little car wash world where we're thinking about car wash subscriptions. Expand it. And think about subscription models in general and what are other people doing and how does that work and how can we apply those same principles within this industry, because we're still real new at this, real new. But yeah. Okay. So I want to switch a little bit. Have you all done anything? So we're talking about whether or not we think this can work. Can this online conversion actually happen? Are you seeing anything that's working in your businesses? Casey, Nick, either one of you can start with this if you're seeing anything that is maybe really helpful for an operator out there.
Yeah, I mean, we've run digital ads that say $1 for an unlimited month of car washes, and people click on them. We have a lot of drop-off when people get to our site because the site experience is not optimized, which is, you know, a longer-term project we're mm-hmm. working on. But in terms of clicks, you know, it's obviously not as good of a click rate as a free wash ad has, but it's not nothing. People do seem to respond to it. And I do think it's, you know, putting out some just little Google text ads or little Facebook advertising is super easy. And you can just test it. Just see. Spend a very little amount of money. Just find out. Does anybody click on it? Is anyone interested in this? You know?
I think for us, so we piloted a couple of these, and again, this is kind of my little pet project here, and I saw enough in terms of return that I want to continue to explore it. I think what online provides us a unique opportunity to be a bit more agile. Mm-hmm. You can build out campaigns in advance that you can flip on and off easily. So let's say maybe you're having a down month and you want to run kind of a quick, you know, 1-3 day offer. You can build out the ads on the back end and be ready to flip that on in a moment's notice. You know, you're not building out a 30, 60, 90 day campaign you're going to be pulling multiple levers. You know, this provides us a little bit of an opportunity to kind of run, if you want to say, a flash sale during a down week or wrap it around a holiday. But it just provides a unique opportunity to be a bit more agile. And that's something that we're really looking to explore here.
I love that. I love how as this industry gets more sophisticated, right, and as it starts to change, so too does the job of the marketer in this industry and how everything's kind of evolving. And we're all part of this like growing kind of system of stuff that just, I don't know, it's exciting. And I guess maybe you got to be built for that. Maybe that's why we're in this room, right? Because we like that kind of stuff. We're like, yeah, let's grow, let's try stuff. is there, before we let you all off the hook, because I take these opportunities to peel all of your information and all of your knowledge out of you, I want to know, is there anything else on this front that maybe is really exciting to you, or maybe you're missing out on, or you're thinking, man, it's really cool if we could ever do this, like aspirational stuff as it relates to kind of the conversion or the online journey kind of side of things.
I'm going to let Nick answer. I feel like I answered first a few times.
I don't know if I can pinpoint one thing, Matt, but you know, it's something that this is what really gets me excited, because I you know, I love to be kind of not necessarily a problem, but I want to find solutions. Yeah. So, you know, the digital space provides a little bit more opportunity that you can play in the sandbox site, A/B test some stuff, see what's working and what's not. But one thing I think that's important for, you know, really all operators to understand is, you know, there's the capture rate or conversion rate side, but you really want to be focused on that retention rate as well. Yeah. You know, going back to just retention or churn, because the idea is to, maybe you're dangling an offer to get them there, allow them to get their foot in the door and try you out. But if you don't have something that's going to be there, that's providing value, you know, you're just going to see your retention numbers go off a cliff. And that's, you know, you might want to pat yourself on the back for capture rate or conversion, but if they're not sticking around, then eh. So I would say that, you know, being hyper-focused on the retention piece, which we spoke about earlier, that's a big part of this.
Yeah, making space for that to be part of your business, right? Like you have to put, even if it's just a little bit of time, you got to put something to it, because like you said, it doesn't do you any good to bring in 100 new customers and to lose 95 of them. Like it just, that's not good. Casey, what about you? What else are you maybe watching in the space, or what are you excited about?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the really interesting thing about retention is there are so many other categories that are spending so much more time and energy on solving this challenge. You know, if you look at what something like a Netflix has in terms of follow-up emails and text messages and recommendations and all these other things and what sort of systems and technology they use to retain customers, I mean, subscription box companies and content subscription providers have this down to a science, and we can steal all of those ideas. We don't have to think of any of the ideas, right? Subscription and membership businesses have been solved already. We just have to take all of their best thinking and apply it to our business. And what I found in my year trying to do that is that technology is currently really the hard part of it. It's, to me, so much of a retention discussion is wrapped up in a technology discussion, what's possible, what's not possible. And it really does take time and effort to overcome those barriers right now and really build a retention machine that matches out of category examples. But I can only imagine it's just going to get better and better.
Yeah. With dollars comes investment in improvements in tech, right? So let's go.
Let's go.
All right, friends. Well, I appreciate you spending the time with me today. I do have one last question for you, because I always like to ask this one, and this can be related to what we've been talking about today, or it can be completely unrelated. But I want to know, what's one thing that I can do today to be better tomorrow? And I'm going to say that one more time so that you have a chance to think about that. What's one thing that I can do today to be better tomorrow? Either one of you may begin.
I'll go first. So I think it's starting to track these as a KPI. I know that seems, you know, it, like you should be doing this, but maybe some operators aren't. I think, you know, a retention KPI or a churn KPI, you know, Casey did hit the nail on the head that data can be a little murky. Don't strive for perfection, but at least be able to track something where you can look at a trend line to really say, oh, something's out of whack here and we really need to pay attention to it. You know, I think at the very least, you could start in terms of, you know, a very elementary, you know, formula is just looking at, you know, how many members did you start with during a given period, and, you know, divide by how many you lost during a given period to kind of identify what that percentage is. And then whether you're doing that at, you know, an organization level or a site level, then it provides you a trend line to look at and see again if something might be out of whack. So if you're not doing anything like that in terms of tracking those metrics, you should be. If you don't know where to start, you know, look at some folks within the organization. You know, look at your point of sale software partners. They may be able to provide some guidance there, or ask another operator. That's what we're here for. And that's what we like to do, is share best practices. So we're happy to provide some guidance. So I'd say start tracking if you're not already.
Yeah, I think the greatest element there for me, and something that I think we forget sometimes, is that directional data can be just fine. Like, as long as you understand that it's directional in nature, it's not like financially like specific, mm-hmm. it's not going to tie back to any books, but it does give you a trend, and it does give you something to track to and to ground yourself in to help you make decisions in a much more rapid way, in a much more thoughtful way, really. But yeah. Casey, how about you? Hardest question of the whole day. One thing I can do today to be better tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, I love what Nick said. And I agree, directional data is just as useful if you can compare one day to another, even if neither is quite right. It can help you understand things. So I'm gonna take it, instead of the quantitative route, I'm gonna take it the qualitative route and say also, you know, and for non-marketers out there, qualitative means, you know, not numbers-based information. So if you can't get the quantitative information, or if that's not your thing, you know, I mean, ultimately retention and churn is all about the customer experience. So, you know, have some friends come by your site, go through the process, come out the other side, and then give you honest feedback about what it really felt like to be an anonymous customer and what the experience is like. You know, pick up the phone and call a few people who've churned out, whose memberships you've lost, and ask them why, you know. And I think, you know, I think when you're in a category this long, it feels like we know all those answers already. But nothing beats actually talking to customers and finding out what their experience is like and what are the pain points, where they drop off.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Man, we could spend entire days and weeks and months trying to get through all of this stuff. But I am so thankful for you all giving of your time and your talent here today. We will do this again for sure. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Car Wash the Podcast is your source for real stories and real business insights from the experts, both in and out of the car wash industry. Our show helps investors, owners, operators, and managers think about ways to enhance their business. Our podcast is a free on-demand audio program that provides information on the latest trends impacting the industry, tips from successful industry leaders, and inspiration for our listeners.